Okay, so we know that the Ramban has a very strongly held view. Hopefully everybody coming back. And the Ramban's very strongly held view, which we'll read inside in just a moment, is the notion that the Egel HaZahav is actually probably not best described, at least not uniformly described, as an act of Avodah Zarah per se. Certainly that's not what Aaron understood. And indeed, this is maybe not even what the majority of people wanted. Maybe some did. We'll talk about that. So the Ramban has a very important generally held view. He says it in many different places. I've summarized and distilled it here. But Ezra, if you don't mind doing the honors, let's jump right in to the perspective of the Ramban.
אבל הקוס בזה הוא מפתח לדעת נפון עניין העגל ומחשבת עושב. כי בידוע
שלו... So that's a really important line. Machsheves Osav. What were they thinking exactly? Bold it.
כי בידוע שלא היו ישראל סבורים שמושה הוא האלוקים. ושהוא בכוחו עשה להם האוזות והמוסים. ומה הטעם שיאמרו כיוון שהלך משה ממנו נעשה אלוהים.
So it's not plausible that they thought Moshe was really God, number one. So if Moshe's gone, they don't need a new God, they need a new Moshe. For Od. Right. So they specify that. He thinks that's what it means. You know, Rikuma Seilanu Elohim Asher Yilchulefanenu Kizem Moshe Ha'ish, right? Moshe, we know he's a man, but we need a leader.
אבל היו מבקשים משה אחר, אמרו, משה שהורה לנו הדרך ממצרים ועד הנה, שהיו המסעים על פי השם ביד משה, הנה אבא ממנו. נעשה לנו משה אחר שיורה הדרך לפנינו על פי השם בידה. וזה טעם הזכירה משה האיש אשר העלנו, לא הקהל, הקהל אשר העלם,
the Ish Elohim, not as a god, but as someone to show them the path. Okay, v'chein tuchala avinza mitzuvas Aaron al Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, this is also what Aaron understood was going on. So the people were asking for a new human leader who was going to be able to serve as some kind of I shouldn't say human, right? The people were asking for some kind of a Moshe 2.0. Who is going to be able to serve the same capacity?
והוא כמוסיף החטאסו פשע, שאומר כי הם ביקשו ממנו עבודה זרה ועשה להם בידיו. ולמה לא יחר אפו, ומה חטאה גדולה מזו?
Exactly. So if Aaron is saying, you know, look, they asked me to make Avodah Zarah, so I guess I did it for them. So the Ramban says, what could have been a bigger indictment? How does this excuse the behavior at all? Aval inyan kemoshe amarti.
Shalom bichu ha'egel lehiros lahem le'el memes mechaye. וקיבלו עבודת אלה חוסו עליהם, אבל ירצו שיהיה להם במקום משה מורה דרכם, וזהו התנצלותו של אהרון.
And that's what Aaron was trying to say also. That was his quote-unquote, you know, excuse. Ta'an, he claimed, כי לא אמרו לי רק שעשה להם אלוהים אשר ילכו לפניהם. במקומך, אדוני. Right? They were looking for a replacement for you. Not a god.
Shelo yadu mahaya lachava, v'im tashuv imlo, lachin hem hayu tzrifin l'misha yorelahem darkam kol zman shelo tihya ta imahem, v'im ulai tashuv yazvuhu v'yalchu acharecha kvarishona. V'chin haya davar ki kevan sheru ha'am et Moshe כיוון שראו העם את משה, מיד הניחו את העגל ובא עטובו, שהניחו לו לשרפו ולזרוס עפרו על פני המים, ולא היה מהם חולק עליו כלל, וכן תירא שלא הוכיחם, ולא אמר להם כלום. אבל בבואו במחנה ביארס העגל ומחולוס מיד ברחו ממנו.
והוא לקח העגל
וישרפו סו
וישקו סו להם, the Sota protocol, so this week's parasha, ולא מיינו כלל, didn't object at all. ואילו היה להם לילו him, if it was really an Avodah Zarah to them, as opposed to just a leader.
אין דרך שעניח אדם מלכו ואלוהיו לשרפס איש. כן יצרוף אס תואב אסם לעיניהם ולא יסקלוהו,
right? So that's the pithy line of the Ramban, right? When hein nisbach as tov as mitzrayim le'nehem v'lo yiskelunu, are they not going to, you know, stone us if we do that, right? What Moshe said in terms of why we have to go nelcha naderach shoshes yamim b'midbar, right? If they really believed in it, they would have never allowed Moshe to do this. Okay, you could debate that claim because maybe they were so ashamed, but you know the Ramban is deducing strong evidence. Zeh Moshe ha'ish asher halanu lo yadanu mehayalo kumase lanu Elohim asher yochlofanenu. We're looking for leadership. And interestingly, they don't see Aharon in that capacity. That's what we'll talk about tomorrow. And that's what Aharon was trying to say to Moshe, that was never an intent of Avodah Zarah per se. And yet, Vayar Aharon.
Pam zeh kasuv shero sam bira mechavnim el ha'ego. V'kam uvan
ha'ego. So he saw that it was getting out of control. It started, right, as the idea of, you know, we need some manifestation, physical manifestation of leadership. It's not enough for us to have God above. But he saw them starting to relate to the Egel differently, right? Things fall apart. Chaos descends, right? Shero sam bira mechavnim al ha'egel. Now it's becoming maybe something a little bit more. So what does Aharon do? V'kam ubana mizbeach v'kara. So this is now the attempt at redirection. So he makes a desperate attempt at redirection. V'yitachin shamar machar. So now it's not just redirection, but it's also delay. Right, they weren't actually offering the karbanos to the egel, right? It doesn't say vayalu lo olos vayagishu lo shlamim v'ayinyan.
מפני שהיו בהם מכוונים לשם הקדוש ברוך הוא כאשר אמר אהרון, ומהם משחיסים וזולחים לעגל.
So now that's also a very important line. So Aaron's attempt at delay and redirection for some did work, but for others, Ezra?
Didn't work at all.
Exactly. So there's a very, very critical lesson here. I think it's absolutely clear from the Ramban's interpretation that it was never meant to be Avodah Zarah initially. That was certainly not the way Aaron understood it. But Hanan, in your own terms, how would you describe what eventuates?
Can you repeat the question?
How would you describe in your own term what eventuates, even though there was a certain very clear initial intent?
They still end up doing Avodah Zarah, or even though Aaron tried to direct them into serving Hashem still, they still ended up doing Avodah Zarah.
Right, so that for a certain percentage of them, right, you know, sort of giving them this physical manifestation was itself a Rubicon. It's once you cross that line. So human behavior, Shimshi, right, it has its own internal dynamic. Human behavior, you know, the intent is just to give them some kind of a physical manifestation. And unfortunately, for some of them, right, Vayar Arona Sa'am, right, Vayar Sam Bira, the Ramban says, for some of them it was not controllable. You know, the Rambam in his many, many different Isurim associated with Avodah Zarah, about 51 of them in all, and what you find is something absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Gezeira d'Araisa after Gezeira d'Araisa. To give you one example, the fourth Isur that the Rambam has is Lo Sasu Niti Eloi Chesa Velohe Zahav Lo Sasu Lachem, just like the Egel. She says, producing objects is Asur, even if you have no intention to worship them as a Avodah Zarah. You know why? Because human behavior is that those will eventually become a Avodah Zarah. Or Lo Sase Yud, Al Tifnu El Ho Elilim, that you're going to just involve yourself out of intellectual curiosity in astrology. All of a sudden, you become intrigued by it. Or Lo Sase Lamed, the Isra of Chuko Sagayim. It may just be us or mitzarasmo to be similar to them, but the Rambam also quotes the pasuk of Hisham lecha pentinake shacharehem ufen sidrosh elohem lemor echa yavdu hagoyim es elohem vesachin gam ani gzera deraisa after gzera deraisa after gzera deraisa, because once the egel, so to speak, is created, not everybody, but for a certain percentage of them, it becomes avodah zarah mamish. Avodah Zarah in its own right. And Aaron's attempts to delay, machar, to redirect, va'even mizbeach, chag l'Hashem, these attempts, while noble, were wholly insufficient. Because, Sariel, human behavior is such that when, very often, when you give an inch, it doesn't prevent them from taking the mile, but in fact, what it does is it makes that process happen with even greater speed. And that's a very significant concern. And we all have to keep that in mind in any area where you think you're delaying and you think you're doing the lesser of two evils. You know, very often, it's not that simple. And people take the concession, and then what they do is, it just accelerates the process. So see, we're a little bit over. We'll hold it up here. And tomorrow I want to talk about, you know, if this is true and it's apparent to us, how did Aaron fail to see that? This was not going to end well, even with the delay and redirection. What was Aaron's failure? Okay, so let's hold it up there, but let me go to a man. You know, when Moshe goes up, you know, the har, he says, "Vine Aaron v'chur yimachem, hine bal dvarim yigash aleihem." So Aaron and Chur, who had played such an instrumental role in the battle against Amalek, so they were understood to be part of the same framework, part of the same rubric, and all of a sudden Chur is nowhere to be found. So that's the question that we have to get at today. And I also just want to do my best to round out this discussion about, you know, Aharon and his role in the entire story. So Tzvi, if you don't mind doing the reading today, you'll be the designated reader. Eila Elohecha.
Eila Elohecha, Ve'lono Ne'amar, Eila Elo, Kenu Mikam, She'erev Rav, She'alu Mitzrayim, Heim She'nikhalu Al Aharon, Ve'im She'asa Uhu,
So this is very important. So Rash is introducing what element here?
That the Arab were like trying to seduce us in.
Right, so that there was a matter of seduction here, right? They didn't present it, the Arab, as somehow this is your God, right? The language here is Hitu es Yisrael Acharav, that once it was established, so they were able to then make the full concerted effort towards Avodah Zarah that you didn't have. So that actually dovetails a little bit with Ramban, is that the original understanding was that this was not supposed to be, you know, a matter of Avodah Zarah per se. V'heim sha'asa'uhu, not Aharon, v'heim, meaning the Erev Rav. So this Rashi is also quasi-exonerating of Aharon. It also explains the language that we noted when we did our Hakdama, ki faruahu, ki firao Aharon, l'shimtza. Next step. Chag l'Hashem achar.
V'lo hayom, shema yavo Moshe, kodeh m'sheyavduhu, zehu, b'shuta, also in case Moshe, like, not instead of today, because in case Moshe would come down by tomorrow.
Exactly.
Umidrasho bivayikra rabba dvari maharbe ra aron ra chor ben achoto shahaya mochicham ve haraguhu zehu
vayiben misbeach lefanov
vayiben misbuach lefanov ve od rabba amar mutav she yitalem bi vi has serachon velo vahem v'odra v'amar im hem bonim et hamisbeach zeme vi tshor zeme vi even v'nimtzet melachtan asuei bebat achad mitoch shani bonem oto v'ani mit atzel v'melachti v'en kach moshaba.
So let's just summarize and distill. The first point and last point go together. Chag l'Hashem machar, delaying tactics. So that's number one. And then again, why did he build the Mizbeach himself? He says, well, if I build the Mizbeach myself, it'll take much longer. If they do it together, it'll take 5 minutes, but it'll take me, 10 hours or 15 hours, so delay. That's one exoneration of Aaron. That dovetails with what Rashi said previously. Another exoneration was that the heir of Rav that really instigated all of this. Number three, in terms of exoneration, is that Aharon... Now again, this is Yeharik Vel Yavor in terms of Avodah Zarah, but Aharon was under the greatest form of duress, Tzvi. Why? Because who had already been killed? Chur, his nephew, Rel Chur ben Achoso, Shei Mochicham. Chur tried, the confrontation route, and it was completely, unsuccessful. And if the confrontation route was going to be unsuccessful, so then, how exactly did anybody stand to benefit from confronting them further? It would have just been completely, impractical. It already had been tried. There's always a big question in halacha. The Gemara in Erechon says, just like there's a mitzvah to give tochacha when it's going to be heard, kishem shemitzvah lomar hadavar nishma, kach mitzvah, there's an equal mitzvah, shelo lomar hadavar sheino nishma. Right? It's part of the same obligation, right? You're trying to help somebody. So if they're not going to listen at all, it's only going to make things, that much worse. And then there's another aspect here, a fourth level of exoneration in Rashi. V'od rav amar mutav sheyitala bihasirchon v'lo bahem. What does that mean, Shimon? What is that line in Rashi getting at? Just bold to know. Rav amar mutav sheyitala bihasirchon v'lo bahem.
Saying that it's better... I don't know what Serchon is.
The blame, the spiritual failure.
It's better that Aaron should be blamed as opposed to all the people.
Exactly. So that, what do you see here also? Very clearly, Jack. Very well done, Shimon.
And Aaron feels at fault.
Well, here he's not at fault yet, but yes, what does this indicate?
That he was trying to, take the sin away from everyone else.
Exactly, that he was acting, he says, to whatever extent there's going to be sin here, he wasn't oblivious to what was going on, but he was trying to spare the Jewish people. And that's something that we'll discuss more, if not at least today, then certainly tomorrow. He's trying to spare the Jewish people, right, a considerable amount of blame. Right, so that he was acting in some ways, self-sacrificially. I'm the leader, maybe I should, be the one who's held accountable here. So Vayiven Sham Mizbech, so he wasn't eager to do this Avodah Zarah. So you add up it, and I think you see at least four different exonerations. First of all, the role of the Erev Rav. Second of all, the death of Chur. Third, the delaying tactics, building the Mizbech himself. Machar, it's got to be that Moshe is going to be coming down by then. And then also the courage, mutav sheyitala bi hasirchon. So it's not to say that Aaron behaved perfectly, but I think it is to say, and I think this is really important, it is to suggest that he had, you know, all kinds of mitigating factors that were involved in this. That's what Rashi is really trying to get across in many, many different ways. So let's go a little bit further, Tzvi, if you don't mind.
Chag Hashem, belibo hayam lashamayim batuach haya sheyava Moshe ve'avdu et hamakom.
Okay, so when he says Lashem machar, what's Rashi's point here?
He was like certain that like Moshe would come down and like it would all just go away.
It was a matter of total and absolute certitude for him. Batuach haya sheyavo Moshe v'yavdu es hamakom. The ultimate result, the end result, was inconceivable to Aharon. It was inconceivable. Belibo haya l'shamayim, batuach haya sheyavo Moshe v'yavdu es hamakom. He was totally, totally convinced that this would be the case. Batuach haya sheyavo Moshe v'yavdu es hamakom. He couldn't have imagined it any other way. So this is yet another level of exoneration. You know, the worst kind of sin is obviously shimshi. What kind of sin? When a person sins, not b'shogeg, not b'ones, but
b'mezid.
Mezid. So what's Rashi really getting at here?
That Aaron was doing it for like for good.
It wasn't that he's saying, you know, maybe, you know, it's all going to work out, but sharpen it a little bit.
That he was doing, he was turning it into a mitzvah. He was like positive that it would turn into a mitzvah.
He thought this is going to be the greatest redemption. You know, the people are starting to fray, the people are starting to show cracks. Batuach haya b'libo. It wasn't Shema Yavo Moshe. It was Vada Yavo Moshe. And this whole thing, this mizbeach that I'm building now, is LaHashem. It was inconceivable what would take place. Now maybe, you know, maybe you'll say that was naive. Or maybe you'll say, you know, therein lies a failure. But it's important to note that if you want to know what was going on in Aaron's heart, he wasn't, you know, from Rashi's perspective, so to speak, yielding Shua. He wasn't Avi somehow, you know, saying, okay, well, you know, they killed Chur, so, you know, I guess, you know, I just have to get myself involved in Avodah Zarah. No! And not just for the reason the Ramban said that it wasn't really Avodah Zarah, but more importantly is that he was totally convinced. Batuach haya libo. So of all of the five exonerating factors for Rashi, to me, this is the greatest one, Zariel. Because it's saying that in Aharon's mind, there was no hava mina whatsoever that this could ever come to Avodah Zarah Mamish. And yet, Hanan, let's take the next Rashi, the final Rashi for the day, and then we'll discuss it.
Utzachik, yesh b'mashma hazeh giloi arayot.
Right, that's the Eishes Potifar. Re'u hevi lanu eved ivri l'tzachik bi.
U'shvichu damim, k'mo sh'ne'mar, yakumu na hane'arim v'sachaku l'faninu. Afkan neherag chur.
Okay, so taking this Rashi in terms of lashon l'tzachik, connoting both shvichus damim and giloi arayos, and then putting it in the broader context, this Rashi, and then especially in light of the previous Rashi, of Chag Lashem, Belibo Haya Lashamayim, Batuach Haya Shavo Yavo Moshe, V'yavo Es Hamakom, there's just there's something of incredible profundity in this Rashi. Letzachik, based on the Medrash Rapa. Well, let's try to break it down. What ended up taking place, Ezra? there's a certain category of sin that Rashi is appealing to. If you think about the Egel Azav and Avei Kumbel Tzachik, and introduce elements of Shvichos Damim and Gilui Arayos, so Rashi really considers the Egel Hazav in the end to be Gilui Arayos, Shvichos Damim, and
Avodah Zarah.
Which means that what?
That a Jihari Yahweh.
From all three perspectives, the Gimel Chamuros. So for Rashi, what does the story really become about? In Aharon's mind, Batuach Haya Libo Lashamayim, Chag Lashem, it's going to be Lashem, Machar, we're not going to give in to this. I've got to be wise in terms of my tactics here, because of what happened to Chur. The Erev Rav is instigating all of this, not even Bnei Yisrael. That a person can have in all of the best intentions in the world, and in the end, what can be the result?
Still not do the right thing.
And in the end, the totsa'ah, the result can be not just Avodah Zarah, not just Gilui Arayos, not just Shvichos Damim, but the Gimel Chamuros. So for Rashi, there's no question that the furthest thing from Aaron's mind was giving an inch or any quarter whatsoever to Avodah Zarah in all of the different ways that we saw. And yet, sof kol sof, what happens isn't just Avodah Zarah, Sariel, but Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arayos, and Shvichos Damim, all of them. And so this is the challenge of leadership. You could have the best intentions in the world. The best. And yet, Ezu Chacham Haroas HaNolad, you have to be able to see not just how you hope things are going to play out. Chag LaShem. It wasn't Shema Yavo Moshe. It was Batuach Belibo Sheyavo Moshe. He was convinced. And yet, even when you feel that you're absolutely certain that what you're doing is exactly the right tactic and it's going to play out to your advantage and everything is going to go, there's a danger. There's a danger. Even if your lev is batuach lashamayim, and Aaron pays a very terrible price for it. Now again, none of this is to say, like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Al tadin es chavercha shetagilim komo." So Rabbeinu Yonah says this is true in general, but it's particularly true. It's particularly true when it comes to people who are in positions of leadership, because people who are in positions of leadership, you know, they're the ones who are easiest to criticize and say, "Oh, I would have done it better. I would have known exactly how to handle the situation." But the truth of the matter is that, you know, as they say in Israel, what you see from the place of national leadership is not really what you see from the place, you know, a person who's looking up, you know, from the hamonam, from the general citizenship. So none of this is to say we would have done any better than Aharon, and we still have more work to do going forward in terms of understanding elements of Aharon's psychology, but we're building up to that. Now, I want to do is to go back to Sariel's point, where Sariel says, "Yeah, we have to focus in of mutav shilta hasir chon bi, that Aharon in some way was trying to take personal responsibility and to spare the nation, and put this perhaps in the broader context of Aharon's personality and what it was that Aharon represented." And here, I think we're going to get to what you may agree is a subtle kind of a point about how, you know, human behavior, you know, can be understood, and how human behavior ultimately is very complicated, because what is in 99% of cases a strength can sometimes, unfortunately, you know, in very different settings, become a weakness. So let's I'm just going to post right here into our chat. Okay. If anybody wants. Okay. So what do we know about Aharon Kivi Davis on background? The famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in the first chapter. Katie, what do we know? Benny? What was Aharon personality-wise?
He wanted to make peace with everybody.
Exactly right. So we know, as Hillel says, Hevi mi talmidav shel Aharon, oev shalom, virodev shalom, oev es habrios imekarvan la Torah, that Aharon's every instinct was to try to find compromise, not to look for direct confrontation, and as we'll see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that we'll skip ahead to now, just, you know, I actually like this idea of presenting it first, because it establishes the very profound contrast with Moshe and Aharon in terms of how they looked at the halachic process. Moshe is up on the mountain. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kofavim and Beis, I'm just skipping over the next source, we'll come back to it. Avos Rabbi Nason, V'chein Moshe Ya'omer Yikov Hadin Es Ahar. Whatever the halacha is, if it has to uproot a mountain, let it uproot a mountain. Aval Aharon Ohev Shalom Viro Dev Shalom Esim Shalom In Adam L'Chaveru Shenemar Torres Emes Haisem Efiu Ve'Avlo Lo Nimsa Biswasav Bishalom. Let me repeat that word, Emmanuel. Bishalom. Uve Mishor. Let me repeat that word, Mishor. That yes, you can have peace, and yes, you can have Yashrus, honesty, Halachi Tiv, Rabim Heshim Me'avon. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer, that we actually follow the position of Aharon largely in this regard, Mitzvah Libtzoa, that if people are having some kind of a confrontation, Aharon's every instinct was not, let's litigate this, let's have a fight, let's come to some kind of a meaningful pshara. And the Rambam says in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in Perek Chapez, we have it here explicitly, Mitzvah Lomar Labale Dinim Batzchila. It's not just that you can do this, but you should do this. It's a mitzvah. B'din Atem Rotzim, do you want the hard, cold, strict justice of the law? O Bipshara, would you rather compromise? Imratu Bipshara Osin Benehem Pshara. V'chol Beisdin Shosin Pshara Tamid Hareza Meshubach. And doing Pshara, coming to compromise all the time, that's the right way to go. V'olav Namar Mishpat Shalom Shiftu B'Sharechen. Ezeu Mishpat, what kind of justice is there? It's not a corruption of justice. It is Mishpat Sheshim O'Shalom. Have Yomer Zebitsua, Vachin Medavid Yomer, Vayu David Osa Mishpat Utstaka Lacholamo, Ezu Mishpat, Sheishimo Utstaka, right? If there's law, it's not tzedakah. If it's tzedakah, if it's charity, it's not law, say the cynics. Have Yomer Zehu Bitsua. Now that often becomes the greatest form of truth and justice is to find compromise. Vihapshara. And then the Rambam goes on to note that the only time we follow the approach of Moshe Rabbeinu, amazing, he's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Dayan par excellence, and yet we don't follow his approach in terms of Dayanus in the Torah. On the contrary, we follow the approach of Aharon in general, a mitzvah libtzoa, and the Rambam says, just in case you had any doubt about it, that the mitzvah is to do it at all times, that we want to be, as we would like to say, all in when it comes to the world of Pshara. The only exception to that is after Gemar Din, so it is considered a corruption of justice after the verdict has been handed down, Shimon, for a person to say, oh, now I want to compromise because I can think I can get a better deal. Now, one more source in the Avos to Rabbi Nasan, and then we'll plug it back in, and I think that Benny already began to put his finger on it. So Ezra of the house of Leibowitz, why don't you take the Avos to Rabbi Nasan here? Because this is, I think, the most classical expression of how Aharon and his Ava Shalom and his Radifa Shalom was very much his defining characteristics, right? Bishalom uvimishor halachiti v'rabim heshiv me'avon. He was thus able to prevent the Jewish people from sin. But again, except for in this one case. Ezra of the house of Leibowitz, take it away. The Avos to Rabbi Nasan.
Oev shalom, kita milami shehe adam oev shalom b'Israel bin kol echad be'echad, kiderech shaya aron oev shalom bin kol echad be'echad, k'nemar, toras emes haisa b'fihu,
ve'ola lo... The avla, avla is injustice, iniquity.
...b'echad b'sfasav, b'shalom v'mishor halachiti, rab meshiv me'avon. Keshaya Aaron Mahalich Biderech Pagabo Baadam Baadam Rasha Vnasan Lo Shalom Lamachar Baka Bikesho So Haish Lavor Avera Amar Oili Heich Isa in Enai Acharkach Vere Es Aaron Vere Es Aaron Bushti Bushti Hemenu Shanasan Li Shalom.
Outstandingly read, Ezra. So, Hanan, what was the basic strategy that Aaron employed? Did he give Musar Shmuzin? Did he upbraid people, excoriate, remonstrate, criticize?
He said that they should have peace for Shalom for the next day, and then they would be embarrassed to do anything to do an Avera because. In front of Aaron, who gave them peace.
Exactly right. Imagine Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem Kamenetsky. He's going to interact with people. He's going to say hello. Then they think to themselves the next day, you know, I'm going to have to face Yis. How can I do this to myself? Right? So even if they're not at the level of Yirah Shamayim, at least they could be inspired by their contact, you know, with this, you know, great individual. And that's exactly right, Hanan. Right, so that his approach was not to beat people over the head, Avi. His approach was to interact with people, and then v'rabim heishiv me'avon, because he got them to do the work themselves. And, you know, like, this is the question that's going on right now in the country regarding policing. You know, do we need external force? Or maybe a better way to do this is to have people, and maybe there's some balance involved, right, police themselves, right? Because when you have a confrontational, you're an adversarial system, it's inherently a very weak system, right? It all depends on, you know, punitive measures. It doesn't really function in a normal and in a healthy way. So outstanding, Hanan. So we see that Aharon was able to interact with everybody. He treated Rishei Yisrael with great respect, and ultimately this had a kind of a long-term impact. Okay, let's just go a little bit further. Let's have Nachi take over the reading. That's Nachi of the House of Shiner, by the way.
Yeah, just we're gonna decide to add and move something around.
Right. So v'chein shnei ben adam shasu meriva zayim zeh. Now we're dealing with people who are in conflict with each other.
V'chein shnei ben adam shasu meriva zayim zeh. Holich Aaron v'yashiv v'itzel echad me'em amarlo b'nei ra'al chavrecha mahu omer. Mitarif es libo v'kore es bigalov, Omer oili hich esa es inai ve'era es chaverai bushasti bushasti himenu shani hu says sarach di alav hu yoshiv etz etzlo atemaser kinam libo v'holik Aaron yoshiv etz ha'acher v'amrlo. B'nei ra'ach ha'bercha, mahu omer, mitarif es libo v'kor es b'gdav omer, oili heich es es ima v'er es chaverai b'ushasti himenu, shani hu sesarach yalav, hu yoshiv etzel atzim asher kinam libo. Ushe nifgash ze b'ze, gafafu v'nashaku ze lo ze, l'chach ne'mar, v'yivku es aron shoshim yom ko b'es Yisrael.
Yeah, so what's the basic approach here? So you got two people fighting, and Aaron, you know, goes to them and he says, you know, look, the person on the other side wishes that there was some way out of the current impasse. There was some way to move forward, right? And, you know, and he does the same thing with the other person. What's ultimately the response?
They forgive each other.
What's that?
They become friends.
That there would be a very meaningful reconciliation that could be introduced between people that Aaron was orchestrating by explaining they're not just, you know, and the language here is so evocative of the Haftorah from Yeshayahu Nun Ches in the context of, you know, Yom Kippur, Halozet Somev Charehu, Kiru Levavchem Ve'al Begdechem. It's not just that, you know, there's some outwardly he's going through the motions, he feels badly. Let me just key in on these words. Mitarif es libo. He's tearing his heart, and then Koreas Begadav, it's really sincere. So what do we see here? Aaron is completely willing to work with Posha Yisrael and Risha Yisrael. Aaron is willing to put himself out there and to play a kind of a long game, if you can excuse the term. And when people are fighting, Aaron is willing to try to get them to look past, you know, whatever it was, the slights, all of the different, you know, things that might have gone wrong. And Sariel, now, because you were the first one that mentioned it today, now I want you to plug this back into our discussion. Yes, it's true that Rashi had many different theories as how he might exonerate Aaron. And the Ramban before that said it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. And Rashi says it's really the Erev Rav who instigated. And Aaron tried to delay as much as possible. Machar. And that's why it says Vayiben Mizbeach. That he was the one who wanted to create a kind of a delay mechanism. And he wanted to redirect it to Hashem. And Batuah Chaya Belibo. He was completely convinced. And he already knew that direct confrontation was not going to work. Because he saw what happened, you know, to Chur, Vayiben Mizbeach Lefanav, Mizavuach Lefanav, you know, physical resistance would just lead to further bloodshed. So what would be the point? Nothing would be gained from that, Sariel. But you mentioned something else. Umutav Shitlo Nasir Chonbi, that Aaron is trying to take responsibility. But based on these sources that we saw, whether it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, whether it's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, whether it's the Braisa and Avos the Rabbi Nasan, I think that there's something else that we could say, Sariel, about what it was that made this incredible strength of Aharon's character not to anger, to be tolerant, to play the long game, to reach out. V'rabim heshiv me'avon, the pasuk in Malachi says, right, that this worked in general, was very effective. But what was the limitation in this specific case? Let me just give you a mashal before you answer. You know, the Mishnah says, Lo habayishan lamed in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yonah has a comment. Busha, a person who's modest, a person who's understated, doesn't need to be the loudest person in the room. This is a virtue in every situation in life, except for learning. But when it comes to learning Torah, if a person is embarrassed, they don't understand, and they don't ask, Lo habayishan lamed, they're not going to be able to learn properly. So sometimes you can have something in life which is good 99% of the time, but it becomes a death trap in a particular situation. Sariel, go ahead. What are we really trying to say about Aaron?
That he was just in the right place, and he was willing to really do whatever it took, to do whatever others needed, not necessarily, but it was good for him. He went out of his way to help everyone else.
Right, so, and his total instinct was, I'm looking for a word here. Pshara is the word in Hebrew. But his overriding instinct, Tzvi, was what? To seek
compromise
and peace. And what's the lesson of the Egel Azav? And I'm not saying that Aaron could have foreseen this, but that sometimes, very rarely in life, what do you have to do?
You have to confirm people, and compromising isn't good enough.
Compromising is just not going to work. How many of you grew up hearing the expression, I certainly did from my maternal unit, it takes two to tango? Raise your hand if you ever heard that expression at home. The Halstukian, Ezra, Aiden, Esdav Gopin, Hanan, Svi, Nachi down in Middlesex, Shimon, Yisrael, Yisrael, KD. Lots of people heard it. What does it mean? What is that expression really getting at here? That's all well and good to push for a compromise, but when is it not all well and good?
When you compromise too much?
Say it a little sharper.
When the other side won't compromise?
When people really aren't looking for a compromise. Because then, inevitably, what's the only result that's going to happen? When you give your inch, Aaron says, okay, Chag L'Hashem Machar, Vayiven Mizbeach, what's going to happen? They're going to take a finger and then they'll grab the hand. They'll take an inch and they'll push for a mile. So whenever we compromise, we really have to try to understand, are people interested in compromise? Are people bent on extracting a particular result? What's my point to you? Is that Aaron in some ways was the worst person for this situation. It's dafka somebody, and they say if you're a hammer, you look at everything as a nail. If you're always Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, and 99.9 repeating 9% of the time, that's going to be the right thing. But in the situation where what is required, even with what happened to Chur, is a firm stand, that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, whether or not you believe it is Avodah Zarah Mamish, you take the Ramban's approach, that it was quasi Avodah Zarah, lo minah velo miktsasa, a firm line was required. What happened when Moshe came down the mountain? You start to see this, right, Ezra? He's taking no prisoners. He's throwing the luchos. He grinds down the egel. He gives them the sota protocols. I mean, it gets intensive, right? It gets very intensive very quickly. Okay? So, obviously, we understand that Moshe took a totally different approach. I mean, in this case, Moshe's approach was the only effective approach. Again, halacha lemaisa in terms of din, l'dorei doros, so we follow Aaron's approach. It's not ikov hadin ha-sahar, it's a mitzvah l'zoa. And a bezdin that does pshara tamid hareza meshubach. But this was a situation for which Aaron's style of leadership was particularly ill-suited. Okay, so we'll hold it up there just in terms of this material, then we open up for questions, and we'll pick it up there tomorrow.